Tonight we're going to talk about basic training. And I was never a military guy, I wasn't in an army, but I believe that for each of us there's a basic training that we go through in our walk with the Lord. And I want to touch on that tonight. Philippians 2 and verse 25 says, "Yes, I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and my soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." In Philemon 2, it says, "To the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house." And I believe within the body, we each have opportunities. We each have places where we grow and are trained. And I believe we have brothers, like it says in Philippians. We have fellow workers, but we also have fellow soldiers. And I recognize, I appreciate, and I don't want to put this against anyone else, but that Sunday night crowd. Because I think there is a different level when you come Sunday night. There's a different level of commitment. There's a different level of sacrifice. There's a different level of heart. And so I believe I'm speaking to soldiers or wannabe soldiers or at some point being soldiers, but for sure fellow workers and not just brothers and sisters in Christ, not that there's anything wrong with that, but we have different levels, I believe, that God calls us to. And the older I get, the more I appreciate the soldiers that have gone before us, that have paid the cost and the price, both in the natural but also in the spiritual. That we have a spiritual battle that each of us face, and we are called to a king, not just to a savior, not just to a lord, but to a king. And it says in the Old Testament that kings had a season where they went to war. And I appreciate, and tonight I just hope to put a little bit into you of inspiration of what God has for each one of us as he calls us as those who are soldiers in his kingdom. That he isn't just out there to just exist, but he is there to engage us in the work of the Lord. And I believe tonight is a very important thing. I don't take things too lightly. Well, some people think I do, but before we started, they lost my mic. We couldn't find my mic. And so I have to have Pastor Ron's mic, and the mantle of this mic is just very fearful. So I'm just praying that God just, you know, seeps some of that anointing and wisdom while I preach to you through his mic. Maybe his voice will come, I don't know. But thank you for sharing. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." See, part of the thing of the kingdom of God is succession. It's moving from one person to the next generation. It isn't a one-off thing. It isn't a conference. It's a training. And there's a level of discipleship. There's a level of caring. There's a level of commitment to train others. And I believe that's why it's so important to me. And my title tonight is Basic Training. Basic training, which whenever you go to war, you go through basic training. And I know if I went to war right now, I'd probably be gone in a few seconds because I know nothing about war. And I'm sure those that appreciate, that go to battle, recognize when they first go into that basic training, it probably seems so foreign and so, why are we doing this? And why day after day do we get up at ridiculous hours? But when you get into the battle, you realize that all of that that went before was for a purpose and a time and a call to preserve your life and to preserve those that are around you. You know, God says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Now, I used to think, well, that just means I'm always keeping peace. No, it isn't. Think about what a peacemaker does. If a peacemaker is a peacemaker, they're going into a place of war and making peace. They're not going into a place of peace making peace. They're going into a difficult situation, and I believe God says, "Blessed are those who are peacemakers," those who have been trained by the Lord and trained to go into situations. And I believe that's part of the mantle and the call of the church, to come into a world that is in turmoil, that is in war, that is in conflict, and to come and bring the peace of the Lord and the grace of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And so it's very important for us to understand that part of being a peacemaker, part of those who are soldiers in the Lord, there is a time of training, and I believe there is a time of training in the Lord as we really come into the fullness that God has for us. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. They're more mighty than a carnal weapon, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. And part of basic training is learning how to handle the weapon so that it becomes mighty. I'm pretty sure from all the movies I've watched, you learn how to tear apart a gun and put a gun back together or whatever weapon it is, and you know the intimate details of how this thing works, so if something goes wrong, you're able to enable it. And the same thing with our weapons of our warfare. If we are not intimately acquainted with the weapon of our warfare, we will not know how to handle it in a time of battle, in a time of war. You see, this word isn't just for you, but it's for those that God has called you to train, like Paul talking to Timothy. He says, you're there to train others. You're there to train up others. And there is a generational thing that will shift from the last generation to the next generation. I appreciate those that have gone before us and those that will go ahead, that will go further in. And so part of what we're talking about tonight is to bring you to a place of understanding that you have a call and a ministry in God that is more important than your individual existence. That it is a destiny. That God called you not just to save you, but to save others through you. And as we begin to understand that, we begin to understand the weight of the responsibility, the mantle that comes upon us. And tonight we're delving into the mantling of Elisha. And many of you would understand the story. Elijah was the prophet of the Lord. He had walked with God. And Elisha was this young man that Elisha had put his calling upon him. And there was a journey that Elisha went through in the transferring of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha, and it was an important journey. And it was interesting to me as I walked this out, and I'd never really read this before this way, but there were certain places that Elisha and Elijah went, and they so coincide and are significant, I believe, to our journey in God. And each place there was an opportunity for Elisha to step back, to settle, but he kept pressing on. And I want to encourage you tonight, because there's times in our lives when we can have the desire to settle where we are, to be comfortable, and God say, no, there is more. If you are willing to follow, if you're willing to go, there is more. And I believe for you Sunday night and for those in this church, there is more for each of us. As long as you have breath and time on this earth, there is more. There is more to do. There are more to save. There are more journeys, more battles, more things to be done. There will be a time for retirement, but now is not that time. I remember a commercial. I don't know if it's still around. They used to have a commercial about Freedom 55. And this delusion that at 55 you're a senior. I come against that spirit. I'm not retiring at 55 because I'm pretty close to 55. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9. And so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, with an exclamation mark in my Bible, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit come upon me. He asked for the double portion. And that seems like a great thing to ask for. You know, if you have a portion, to ask for double is a great thing. But I think, and especially when we're young, we don't realize the weight that goes with the double portion. And Elijah says to him, you've asked a hard thing. And sometimes we desire the portion without recognizing the journey to get to the portion. And I think it's important for us to have double portions. It's important to be expecting for the Lord. But there's a journey to prepare us so that the double portion doesn't kill us. And I want to encourage you, because part of the journey we have in the Lord is learning to grow and walk in the calling that God has for us. But it's a process to be able to handle the maturity that is involved with the double portion. Now, it's well documented. Elisha did twice as many miracles. There was a double portion upon him. But there was a journey he walked through. Philippians 3 and verse 12 says, I press on that I may lay hold of that thing. Lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. There is a that in your life. That Jesus laid hold of you. He knew you, he says, before you were formed in your mother's womb. And he came into your life. And I want to encourage you tonight that it's that we're looking for. That thing that he laid his hand over you. And please understand, I don't want to make light of our salvation, but our salvation was just to get us into the plan. See, for some of us, it's all about our salvation. As long as I'm saved, I'm good. And it's good to be saved. But God has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for your life. It isn't just to save your own skin, but it's to get you involved with his purposes in his kingdom. And as we walk this journey out, you'll see the progression, because I believe that there is a pressing on, a pressing through that's required to lay hold of that thing for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of us for. That we each have a purpose. We each have a calling. In 2 Kings and 2 verse 1 is the beginning of the journey as Elijah is going to be swept out of this earth. You know, we understand Elijah didn't die. He just was taken up. He was taken up in a chariot. And it was the day, it was that time when he was going to be taken up. And it was well known in the land through the prophetic voice and through that this was the time for Elijah to depart. In 2 Kings and 2 verse 1, we pick up the story, and it says, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. That's 2 Kings 2 and verse 1. He went from Gilgal and he was going to Bethel. Now, Gilgal is an interesting place. It's you know, a small city and small town, and it's the first place they went to after they crossed the Jordan. Gilgal was the place where they circumcised the Israelites that had been in the wilderness. It was a place of cutting off. It was a place, I don't want to be too graphic, but it was a place of cutting off the past and making a separation unto God. And for each one of us, we have a place, and when we first get saved, there's that season and that time of Gilgal. And it says, are we willing to cut off the past? Are we willing to separate ourselves unto Christ? Are we willing to take our old flesh life and leave it behind so that God can use us for his purposes and his grace? The meaning of Gilgal is meaning to roll away. It's rolling away the past. It's moving away. It was a place to cut off the flesh, but it was also a place of healing. It was a place of rest. That they rested in Gilgal until they were all healed. And when we first come to the Lord, it's a place to cut off the past, but it's also a place of healing. When the Lord comes in near and he takes and that hurt and that stuff that was in our flesh is dealt with. And he's so near, and his desire is to heal us. Because to be whole and go into the battle is more important than to be half. And see, if we never allow the Lord to heal us, if we never allow if we never cut off our flesh, if we always carry this burden of flesh through our life, we can never run like a true soldier. See, part of the basic training is getting in shape. Now, I can remember, you know, I know why they don't call 55-year-olds into the battle. They call you when you're 18 and 19 and you're buff and you're strong and you have the ability to gain muscle. And you go and you have these runs in the middle of the morning and you get trained, you get ready for the battle. You get empowered. And that's the same thing with the process of Gilgal in our walk with God. Is it's the cutting off of the flesh and it's putting on those new spiritual muscles that we can endure when the enemy comes, that there is a strength in us in the spirit. That we are healed, we are not damaged goods, we are whole, we are made new. That we are ready. Joshua 5 and verse 9 says, "So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. And then the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, and therefore the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day.'" It's the cutting off of the old man and putting on the new man. And as you go through your the courses and the baptism classes and those new things that are coming, it's understanding who I am in Christ as a new creation, that the former things are done away with and the new things have come. You see, if we never get trained in the Word, we don't understand what we have in Him. Gilgal speaks of the journey, growing in Christ and transforming into that minister that God calls us to be. Romans 7 and verse 4 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to one another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." Part of getting cleaned up and getting the flesh is so that we would become fruitful. "For we who were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now you have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." That there is a newness that we walk in as we come out of Gilgal, and Elijah is taking Elisha from that place of the old man coming into the new. And at every one of these steps, there's an interesting thing that happens, and we get this in verse 2, 2 Kings 2 and verse 2. And it says, "Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here.'" He said, "Please. Stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." An enemy place in our walk, there's the opportunity to settle in the previous place. And see, we can settle, hear what I'm saying, in our salvation. And be thankful we're saved, to be thankful that we're covered by the blood and all those sort of things. But you see, there's another city that God's taking us to. He's taken us out of Gilgal, and many times many people get stuck in their salvation and never move beyond into the fullness that God has for them. But Bethel is right around the corner. But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you." And so they went down to Bethel. He made a commitment to not settle, but to move on in the purposes of God. Hebrews 6 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment." All these things are good things. But he says, let's move on. You've got that foundation now. We're going to move on. We're going to Bethel, Elisha. But if you want, stay in Gilgal. Stay in your flesh. Stay in, you know, just keep praying for forgiveness of your sins. But we're not moving on. And Elisha said, no, I want to move on in God. I want to go deeper. I want to go further. The interesting thing with Bethel, the definition of Bethel is the house of God. That we go from Gilgal, our place of salvation, into the house of God. Jacob named Bethel. In Genesis 28, verse 16, he says, Jacob awoke from his sleep, and this was the picture of the ladder going from heaven to earth. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There's none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. Can I encourage you tonight that I believe the house of God is the gate of heaven? And if you aren't willing to go past your personal salvation and get into the house of God, you aren't going to get into the gate of heaven. Because the gate both ascends and descends. And so the power of God and the authority of God comes through the house, through the gate. And see, for many, or a few at least, the house of God is just a place to go to. It's not a place to experience and not a place to grow. You see, we can come to Bethel, we can come to the house of God and enjoy the experience without getting involved. Without experiencing the gate of heaven, without growing. See, the house of God is there for fellowship. It's there to have one another together, to care for one another. And it can be a very secure place. It should be a very secure place. It should be an enjoyable place to go to. Now, I know none of you are miserable in this church, but if somebody's listening to me and you're miserable in your church, you better not say that. Pray. But you see, we have to have a real experience with the Lord. And part of the responsibility, because I know the desire of the leadership in this church, is to build this as a house of God. That it is the gate of heaven, that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, the Word to work in us. And so Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and he set it up as a pillar. And he poured oil on the top of it and he called the name of that place Bethel. Now, unfortunately, the screen is blocking my clock, but I know I don't have much time. So that could be a sermon in itself. But there's a pillar of stone within the house of God and there's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the pillar of stone, in other words, the Word of God, the authority, the order, and you only have the anointing, it's out of balance. And I appreciate the house of God that keeps both of those in balance. The stone and the oil. The anointing and the Word. And that's why it's so important to be in a house of God where you're growing and moving in the things of God. Now the sons of the prophets who are at Bethel, this is 2 Kings 2 and verse 3, came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, I know. Keep silent. And then Elijah says to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. See, we can settle, please hear me, in the house of God and be comfortable and never go on to Jericho that we were called to. Now, please hear me, that doesn't mean we're leaving the house of God. But see, some people, we get so comfortable with the house that our relationship with Christ and our relationship with others becomes secondary. And it can become more of a social experience than a real encounter with God. And that's why God wants to stretch us. He wants to take us to those places, and he wants to grow us. And so we move from the place of Gilgal to the place of being planted in the house of God. But each of us has an important role in the house of God. That you have a calling and a purpose. And that you would find that. And there's along every step of the way, there are those who will say, oh, just settle with us. Settle here. Don't go on. Don't move on. But that's not God's desire. And Elisha says, no. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And so they came to Jericho. Now, many of you know what Jericho is. Jericho was the first conquest as they came out of Egypt. It's the first place they did battle with the enemy. And this is what I'm talking about when we talk about becoming soldiers. Is that God takes us and cleans us up, and then he puts us into fellowship, into the house of God. And we begin to have relationship and security, and the Word of God goes into us, and the Holy Spirit becomes alive in us. And all of a sudden, God's saying, now listen, I want to take you as a people now. You see, it isn't just about you individually. It's as a people, they went around Jericho. And because they walked in the right order, they walked in community. They had years in the wilderness to learn how to listen to God. Before they went into the wilderness, God would say, go, and they would stay. God would say, stay, and they would go. And they learned through that wilderness experience, no, we are here as community to walk together into the battle. And part of being birthed into the house of God, I believe, is to bring us to the place where we are effective to do battle against the enemy. And if you don't understand we have an enemy, I'll tell you right now, we have an enemy. And if you think you're going to battle the enemy on your own, you're in trouble. You need to be in a covenantal relationship, into a relationship in the house of God where you can battle with one another, where you can walk and work the things of God out. I would rather have someone that's tougher than me in a battle than me going myself. And that's why relationship is so important. And as they walked around that wall of Jericho, and they walked in silence. See, there's times to be silent, and then there's a time to shout. And the interesting thing is when Jesus walked into Jericho, there was a blind man. And he was crying out Jesus' name in Luke 18, and I'll let you read it on your own. But and he cried out and he said, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. And there's times to be quiet, but sometimes there's times to speak. Sometimes there's times to stand for the Word of God. And there was a season of walking around Jericho where it was right to be silent. But then when it was time to speak, the voice went forth and the walls came down. And the time for the blind man to speak was then, and he spoke, and Jesus came and healed him. And Elijah said, as they walked from Jericho, in 2 Kings 2 and verse 6, and you should know this by now, stay here, please. Elisha, settle in the Jordan, or settle in Jericho. There's a battle to be won. There's a place, and I'm moving on to Jordan. But, you know, you can settle here. For the Lord has sent me to Jordan, but he said again, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. See, Elisha understood something. He understood a level of commitment to the calling and to the man of God. He understood a level of commitment. And everyone around him said, don't you know he's leaving you? You're going to be left on your own? But Elisha understood something. That there was a call of God, and he wasn't there to settle for the last thing, but he was there to walk into the fullness that God has for him. Jordan speaks, and we understand when they walked through Jordan, they were walking into the promised land of God. They were walking into the promises. When Israel opened that was their inheritance. And part of our journey with God, a part of our journey walking with the Lord, isn't just to get us saved, but it's to get us to walk into the promises of the Lord, into the inheritance of God, to walk into that Jordan. And as Elijah put down his cloak, the waters of Jordan parted again. And they walked through on dry land. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask. Now is the time to ask. That you walk through through Gilgal, you walk through Bethel, the house of God, you've battled the enemy in Jericho, now ask. Now is the time to ask." "Ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away." And Elijah said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, if you're there in the end and you see me when I am taken away, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so." And then it happened. As they continued on and talked, and suddenly a chariot of fire had appeared with the horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind, and Elisha stood there catching the mantle, catching the double portion, catching the provision of the Lord. And if anything, and like I say, each of these could be their own sermon, but I wanted to encourage you tonight, because I believe that God is calling a church, is calling a people who are willing to go past the elementary principles of God, who are willing to walk together in the house of God, who are willing to go to battle as good soldiers, who count the cost and are willing to give up their life for one another, and are ready to walk into the fullness, the promises of the Lord. And I believe for each of us individually, there is a promise and a blessing. And if we are willing to walk through those things, if we are willing to endure to the end, if we're willing to stand for the Lord, that the promise will be there. I'm going to close with Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news or good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they will rebuild the old ruins. They will raise up the former desolations. They will repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the foreigner will be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you will be named the priests of the Lord. They will call you the servants of your God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double honor. Instead of confusion, you will rejoice in their portion, and therefore in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for the burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants will be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. And all who see them will acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. And so tonight, as you go from this place, I hope you are encouraged to go to the next step, wherever that is. Maybe you've settled in Gilgal, or Bethel, or Jericho. Maybe you're just getting in and you're looking forward. But I would encourage you, as the army of God, that there is a great calling and a mantle upon His house. And if you will sign up for the basic training, God will train you. He will be faithful. He will be there when the enemy is at the door. Because I believe there is a people that needs to raise up those former devastations, to rebuild ruined cities, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. God, we come before You tonight, God, and I just pray for this house, for every person here tonight, God, as, Lord, Your Holy Spirit begins to minister into their hearts. And, Lord, as You take these words, may they go deep within us. I pray You'd encourage those hands that are hanging down tonight, God. Those that are maybe in the midst of the battle and wonder, is there any hope for me? That, Lord, You would build hope. You would build courage. You would strengthen those hands, God. That, Lord, You would bring healing and encouragement to Your house. And that, Lord, today as we go tomorrow morning into this city, into the battlefield, into our places of employment or wherever it is, God, may we take that torch of the Lord, the mantle of God, and continue to walk with what You have called us to be, God. And so, Lord, we bless Your house tonight. We pray Your anointing over it. And we thank You for Your grace in Your life, God, that You took us out of the grave and the mess of our own life, and You make us priests unto God. And so, Lord, I pray You bless Your house. Bless this church, God. Bless those who are in leadership in this church, God. And bless every person, Father, as we carry out the mantle and the mission of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Encourage you as you go, feel free. We're going to close in worship. If you need to come up for prayer, there's prayer. But I trust that God's hand is upon each of you, and that you would be encouraged in what He has called you to, as we go from this place. Amen.